Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Leaders is federally insured by NCUA. A couple of news items before we get to Norton Hurd the fourth and what he's done on the EYBL regular season, which has come to a close. Two things. Scheffler charges dropped.
Hey.
Said this would happen. And Brad had to put me in my place the first day. He said that Scotty Scheffler didn't drive with that cop on the car with a sense of entitlement.
How confident was I when I said that?
You never believed it.
Didn't even flinch when I said it.
In fact, I said, Brad, you're denying what Jeff Darlington has reported, that he went 10 to 15 yards.
Remember
on. If he went to 10, 15 yards.
You're somewhat...
I was going off the reporting.
Upset at me when I even said that.
Because I was looking at you.
I could see the venom.
I'm going to tell you why.
There was venom.
Because I was looking, and there was no venom. But it was a little bit of pushback.
A little bit of, you're a freaking idiot.
No, it wasn't that. It was.
You're dumb. You're being.
It was, no.
You're dismissing the report, Brad.
It was a little bit of that.
You were dismissing the Darlington report.
And it was, Brad think he knows Scotty Scheffler. He don't know the demons possibly inside Scotty Scheffler. He thinks he knows Scotty Scheffler based on what he sees on Scotty on TV. It was a little bit of that. Now, clearly, and there's been some back and forth. I don't know if you saw this. Scotty told the cops he should have stopped. There was an admission of that.
Oh, there you have it.
No. Because what you said initially, I don't think it was a sense of entitlement. I think he'd been told to go.
Right.
I think he kind of felt like he had an overzealous cop that was acting a fool.
Yeah.
But what we always said, what you and I agreed on, was that these charges would eventually be dropped because it was not a good look for Louisville police.
Right, right.
Whatsoever.
No, you were with, I'm having fun with you, but I don't know Scotty Scheffler. I've watched.
You do know him. You were right. It wasn't a sense of entitlement.
I've watched hours of this guy.
He's not the type, is what you were trying to tell me that day.
And I think that plays into why he was so calm after the fact. Mm-hmm. Like, what normal person can just put a yellow or an orange, you know, jumpsuit on and go into the pen and get a mugshot? That's never happened to me. I suspect that's probably never happened to Scotty Scheffler, and I assume he was able to watch SportsCenter from the jail cell and warm up for his second round because his mental... That's not normal. That is not normal. I've never seen a person be able to do that. People who are guilty and probably... meant to, you know, get after it a little bit and be a little anxious, and they operate not that way. You know what I mean? So yep. It just never added up to me.
Well, and it didn't help when you got a cop who's had discipline issues in the past.
Yeah.
That certainly didn't help if the case of Louisville police, in terms of if they wanted to move forward with this case. You got a cop that's already has been disciplined for not turning his body cam on.
Yes.
Not having it on, but we also saw has a record and a history of looking like he's a hothead. You got civilians in the backseat of your car. You're doing donuts in the road. Sounds like a pretty wild cop.
And so pretty
that
wild.
Again, when you've got that going against you, it doesn't make any sense to pursue these charges,
mm-hmm.
even if you felt like Scotty might have crossed the the line. Looks to me like Scotty didn't cross the line whatsoever. We had said other police had shooed in, basically told wave through the other golfers. Scotty's trying to do the same thing on a morning that's already hectic because of all the traffic created by the death. That's the thing that's kind of gone lost on people in all this talk about Scotty Scheffler, is that the death that occurred out there of a civilian, right? It was a vendor out there that morning that caused all the confusion, the traffic. More police to be there than normally would.
Yeah.
Seems like Gillis or whatever this officer's name is gets dropped in the middle of this mess. Maybe he's having a bad day, decides that, you know, no, I'm going to stop Scotty Scheffler. He's going to stop for me. And this thing boiled over to a point it didn't need to. That said, Scotty's all the way in the right, obviously, when these charges are dropped. And that is certainly good news for him. The other news item I mentioned we'd get to before we got to Norton Heard the fourth was that back in the NBA, Ty Lue has signed a long-term contract with the Los Angeles Clippers that will make him one of the NBA's highest-paid coaches. This is not, you know, we figured this was coming at some point. Ty Lue getting it done with the Clippers had been sort of a little bit of a back and forth on both sides, but both we'd always thought this deal was going to get done. He is widely considered one of the best coaches in the league, and a lot of that is the respect that he gets from players. And I think I hold them up there as well. I'm just, is Ty Lue going to get you over the hump?
No.
Is what I would ask.
And the answer is no.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You could be the best coach in the world, but if you don't have Kawhi in the playoffs, and that's been the Clippers' issue the last few years, is the health of these aging veterans.
Right.
More so than it's been Ty Lue. I guess when you feel like you've got the right guy, then you do want to lock him in and keep other teams from pursuing him. We know the Lakers have an opening as well. That can be an important part of this, obviously, with Lue and with LeBron's history together.
Yep.
So that is a portion of this, but I don't know. I mean, I've heard others have the conversation. I'm not sure how many coaches I feel like are out there right now. Look at Rick Carlisle and some of the mistakes made in the Indiana Pacers series.
That's where I was going
to
go.
When you're watching that young team sort of flailing at the end, trying to figure out how to win playoff games against a more experienced unit, and you're not calling timeout. You're not helping there. So, and we hold Rick up there.
Yes.
So that's what I'm saying. How many coaches in the league do you look at and say, they can be the difference in terms of putting me over the hump? While I have high, great esteem for the job that Ty Lue has done, I'm not sure. That's what I'm saying. If you put him in a complete situation, I'm not sure it's him that's putting me over the hump.
This conversation is fascinating to me because people are so...
It's players.
It's players. And your mentality about a coach changes series to series and game to game. For example, let's go to Chris Finch. Chris Finch was widely considered this ace coach, and then he gets hurt on the sideline, has leg surgery, and he can't talk directly to his players from the sideline. He's in the second row. I still think Chris is a good coach, but I don't know. Monty Williams, he leaves the Suns, and they pay him all this money to go to Detroit, and he doesn't have it. You know, he's got a bunch of rookie players, and now all of a sudden, is Monty Williams a bad coach? Rick Carlisle, I put him on the list. Rick Carlisle was supposed to be the savant who brought Dallas to the championship.
Well, he got all this experience, championship.
And then he plays this first game of this series and looks like what are you doing? But Joe Mazzulla, for example, like Joe Mazzulla, I think once he wins this championship, which I think he's going to win, like I think it will change the perception of Joe Mazzulla because he'll have a championship under his belt, and then all the bad things 2 years ago when they blew the series will be forgotten.
It's weird to me because I think the way, my point would be, the way the Boston Celtics are set up and have been set up, it doesn't matter if it's Ime Udoka or Joe Mazzulla going in there, they're still going to be right there because of the roster.
It's the players.
Because of what Brown's been through, what Tatum's been through. Frankly, what Brad Stevens as a front office guy now did.
Yeah, he might be elite
going
in his job.
Out, in terms of the moves they made, going out and acquiring Drew Holiday. That's my thing is that, you know, I feel like you would be getting similar or close results if you had J.B. Bickerstaff in that spot, more so because the important work's already done.
Yes.
The team, the structure, the right roster, the experience of having been through something, that's already done. And I'm not saying anybody could be up in that seat, but that's my point, is that this isn't Mazzulla putting Boston over the top.
Right.
This is a team with another coach, one that they dismissed was successful to Ime Udoka. This is a team with another coach in the same position. It's not, if they win, it's not Mazzulla that put them over the top.
No.
And yet we will say
that he's one of the better ones
yes.
once he wins that title.
Yes.
But back to the point, I mean, Bud had a title in Milwaukee. He gets dismissed a year later.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it's a players' league. They control it. And if they think you've lost control, whether you've got a title or you don't, you're out of there. And I'm not sure that there's a great many of them, maybe save for Pop, maybe Spoelstra, who are an ingredient that you put in
right.
into a championship ingredient, you know,
yes.
cake. And they're putting you over the top. I just think those coaches are few and far between.
A few months ago, you and John Jason had or you and John had a conversation about coaches, and we basically put it that there's Spo is one of one, maybe with I don't know a couple of these guys, San Antonio. But is Zach Kleiman's job more important than Taylor Jenkins?
Yes.
I would say the answer is yes.
Yes, for everything we just said about what Brad Stevens has done with
those
Boston.
Dudes are more important than
that's
the coach.
The more important thing.
Absolutely,
yes.
I agree with you.
And at some point, you know, you, like we said, you may be moving on from Taylor Jenkins because you tell yourself, well, we've got the right roster. Right, we know that's what Kleiman and those
maybe.
Guys at some point may tell themselves.
Maybe.
After they've gone and got that center.
Right.
If it's still not working then, you know what happens. The coach then becomes the target. He
right.
begins. He becomes, whether it's the scapegoat, whether it's, you know, it's warranted, he becomes the guy who has to move on. And, you know, ultimately, if Taylor Jenkins doesn't get it done,
yeah.
and that'll be playoff time, if you're not making a conference finals, if you're coming up short. Again, I do think there's a scenario where Memphis is back as a contender next year. It wins a first-round series, gets to the conference semis, and then loses a close one. And those players who have been proponents and have been in Taylor Jenkins' corner and were all season long, they're still with him. They're still telling Zach Kleiman, we can get over the hump after
yes.
a seven-game series loss to, you pick your team, whether it's Dallas next year, whoever it is. If he's still got those players,
yes.
again, the most important part, saying we're close, we want Taylor back, we want him with us as we get over the hump, that's going to be the biggest thing for him in terms of keeping this job.
Yes.
If they are out on him, if they decide, you know what, or if they're indifferent,
right.
then you'll have a front office that's saying, we need to win now, we have the roster, we need the right coach, in quotes, to put in place, and Taylor will be moved on from. I mean, that's the way I see it breaking down.
I would tell you that Ty Lue is just like a lot of these dudes. No disrespect to Ty. I'm glad he got 5 years and $70 million. But, like, do you, if it's me, like, go beat the Dallas Mavericks this year. Like, that series, I know you're banged up and that, you know, Kawhi
I mean,
is not
no
right.
Kawhi. That's what I'm
but
saying.
But this injury thing, like, though, is fickle because, like, look at Dallas. Like, Dallas has been banged up this year. Boston has been banged up
I mean,
up
you
this
take
year.
Away a roster and good players from a coach. I mean, look at what Spoelstra had this year with Jimmy Butler
That's
hurt.
Fair.
He couldn't do anything. They didn't get anywhere this year. Rozier wasn't a guy that was the answer down there. Pop, same thing.
Well, they may lose Butler, by the way.
Pop, same thing. I mean, great coach, but you take Wimby, you take that championship roster away from him, and he's at the bottom of the league.
Yeah.
So, again, even those coaches we hold up at the highest point in terms of the best in the game, if they don't have what that front office supplies, if they don't have the roster, they're not making a difference.
That's fair.
And so that's why I said Ty Lue, or like you just said, hold him up, but he's not going to be the
he's
thing
fine.
That gets the Clippers
yeah.
the title.
That's
it's
right.
going to be whether or not this aging core can get them over the hump, actually play in the playoffs and get them through. But congrats to Ty Lue. Again, it keeps him at a time. The Lakers have an opening. Clippers are locking up their man. They got the new arena coming. And
that's going to be a big
hopefully
deal.
At some point they will start meeting expectations because those have certainly been raised in terms of out in L.A. and what the Clippers need to be doing right now and the investment that Ballmer's in. They need to start winning big. Ty Lue's the guy that they've got assigned to get him there. We're going to talk to Norton Herd IV here after a break, talk about what they just wrapped up in Kansas City. Regular season of the EYBL is over. All the regular season work is in. Now it's on to the Peach Jam. Which will take place in July. And like we talked about, you just want to give yourself enough cracks at it. It's like making the NCAA tournament. Give yourself the cracks, then you can make the deep run, then you can win the title that ultimately no Memphis grassroots team has won. Herd and Team Thad are on their way. We'll talk about the season, how they did it this weekend without their top guy, Jasper Johnson, that, the David Jones decision, what's going on with the Tigers, and so much more with Norton Herd IV. We'll do it all when we get back. You're listening to Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Norton Herd IV, Team Thad Program Director and Coach, Black Coach Association All-Circuit Select for what he did on the EYBL last season. We're doing some again this season. I have to see what the Black Coach Association thinks about that. Silver Wave Media's top 100 most influential people. He was named to that list, a very prestigious list. Most influential people in college basketball. There's only 100 people on that list. You can follow him on X at Dream Big Hurd. He's on IG at I Am Coach Hurd. Team Thad finished 11-4 the Nike EYBL season, the regular season, tied for second best record in the EYBL circuit. Went 3-2 this past weekend in KC. And before you raise your eyebrows on the two losses, keep in mind this is the toughest grassroots circuit in the world. And Coach Hurd was down three starters, including Jasper Johnson, the top 10 prospect in 2025. So, Coach Hurd, you come in here, and I offer you a congratulations on a fine regular season at 11-4 and a nice weekend where maybe some others thought that last regular season weekend you might come in there and lose without three starters. Congratulations to you.
Oh, thank you, Jason. Like you say, major season, major weekend. We just enjoyed it, man. I just appreciate, you know, my players for working their butts off, believing in my vision, my staff, my coaches, my supporters, our parents. We all did this together like always. I lead it, but I have a lot of help with me, and we do this together. And just the obstacles we faced this year have made it so special. You know, last year, once we got rolling after the first week, people were like, oh, those boys pretty good.
Right.
Arion jumped up. You already had Jasper. He was a baby. LeBaron, Quainis. This year, on paper, we wasn't a top 20 team, top 25, and we had Jasper and in some people's eyes, a bunch of hard-playing guys. But, you know, I appreciate what they do. Now we get a couple guys in the middle of the year. Now Jasper has to go to USA. Congratulations, he made the team. My starting big boy, which Jasper's my best player, my starting big kid gets hurt. My best defender, who AJ was bragging on, number 12, he's not. All three of them don't come to the last session. So people are like, oh, it's over. They got to. And next man up, kid after kid, and we go 3-2. And with my entire team, we like 2 points from being undefeated. So we just done good. We didn't overcame the odds. And even going to PGM, it'd be difficult because on paper, we're still not a top 5 or 10 team. But we have, you know, we have settled the case on from a production standpoint. When everybody here, we are a top. We have played like a top 5 team.
Well, you end up earning a top 2 seed out of this, right? With the regular season that you had, you're still going to be a top 2 seed. But yeah, maybe a little bit different in the sense that, like you said, previous year, last year, on paper, y'all the team to beat. You know, folks looking at you, maybe it's a little bit lower on the radar this year coming in terms of the way you'll come into that thing. What, July 13th through 21st, the PGM is?
Yes,
North
sir.
Augusta?
Yep.
So a little bit more under the radar, but still feeling like we got just as much chance to win. Like, what are you telling those guys? It's because it is different from last year when y'all were – a lot of people were picking y'all to win it going in there. This year, I don't suspect you'll have a ton of folks picking y'all. Is that a better position for you?
So last year, like I say, early on, we wasn't picked. But once we got rolling, people was like,
we might be the keep up. They said this is one of the most loaded teams here. They could win the whole thing.
We were a top five because at that point we were a top five. This year, like you say, you still got like the Knight Riders, Oakland Soldiers, and Takeover, who are like the three main headliners. And then right after that, you know, it's like us and a handful of teams. So that's why I say it makes this year better. Do I have the same belief we can win? Yeah. The reason we at where we at right now is because everybody in our locker room and in our program believe in each other. When people nationally or locally or anybody has negativity, hating other, we always believe. I mean, it's so crazy. Me and my kids and coaches' bonds are so tight that even when one of our parents say something crazy, from my mother's to their parents, that's cool, but when we get in that practice together, in that locker room together, we stick together. And that's how I approach my boy. Because, you know, when you get in the car with your parents, you need to shoot more.
That ain't the game plan.
And so we get back together.
You can't just shut all that down.
No, I
think that's why I admire you coaches in this situation now. They can have a successful team when you got so much going on now. And even more, it seems like, with the parents all saying what their kids should have, or we demand this, seems like it's harder than ever to be a successful coach at whatever level you're at.
And that's true, even from Pee Wee. I think with me being a little, you know, we all got different ways we handle things. Some things in life, no matter how much the world change, I'ma still have substance on certain stuff, and that's whether we're coaching, raising my child, relationships, business. But it's some stuff that I don't care how much the world change.
Thermostat.
Yeah, I'ma still have a drawing line. So, no, I can't stop parents from saying what they say in the car. But what I can do is make sure this don't get involved in my locker room and in my gym, and we don't bring this to the gym. And that's naturally. Every parent know what their kid does great. My own mother have tried to tell me to do stuff, so I can imagine what.
you keep bringing her up like she's telling you, talking, and y'all tuning her out. When she speaks, you listen.
Yeah,
I listen. Because I've met her, and I know y'all.
I listen a lot, but she might say, because she old school, like, that boy need to be doing it. You don't know the play, mama. It was for him to go slow right there. It was for him to drag it out. You know what I'm saying? Same thing with other parents talking to their kids. They don't know what's going on in practice. So I say all that to say, we always believe. When it was 6 weeks ago and everybody was saying we was a 25-point underdog on paper, and I even was acting like I was feeding into it, behind closed door, we shocked the world. After the game, we was all saying, no disrespect, we finna go mess up AJ and Stokes and shock the world. Now, call us crazy, because I talked to guys from ESPN, I talked to guys from 24, and they say, Herd, I was sitting at this game the whole time thinking, how is team bad up? Just look at the difference of talent, look at the size.
It's your coaching. We were just talking about coaches in the NBA not really being guys that can put their teams over the hump. You know, maybe a Pop is that, maybe a Spoelstra is that. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have the roster, right, if your front office hadn't given you the tools to work with, doesn't matter how good a coach you were. Even Pop, when he didn't have Wimby in his team, like, what they've been down, everything else. You, though, at this level, it can be. There can be a difference. There has to be, it sounds like, or else otherwise it's complete chaos.
Yeah, I think at this age you still
you don't have a standard.
You can create culture still. I actually think you can in the NBA because, like you say, what's Miami supposed to do a good job of
Spo
it?
Spo does. But if you take Jimmy Butler and the things away from him, like, you know what I mean,
it in
the
end. Tough. I'm going to be real with you. Outside of money, there's no way I could coach in the NBA. But, my thing is more AAU and college because you still have, you know, the game is still played about momentum and things like that. You know, you take the NBA regular season, people might not start playing ball. The 5 minutes of the four, that would kill me. I'm so serious. A lot of all-star games come here and they ask me to coach it. I turn it down. I just don't do fake basketball.
And you know? I see a calmer Herd. Like the Nike or the video that's out there now about the Peace Jam and the teams that advanced. Like you in that video, man, you were very calmly in the huddle. That seems like have you changed at all, or is that just me catching you at a calm moment? Because I used to see a Herd that was going crazy.
Yeah.
All nuts on these players. You were lighting them up. It looked like a very calm Herd that had been through the wars and is not affected by the things going on around him. Have you changed at all through the years? Your style?
I mean, we all try to change it a little bit. I think I got to thank the Nike camera guy for catching me at a calm time.
He did. It made you look real cool.
You know, and that was nice. He called me right before he called LeBron. But, no, I'm still fiery, and I'm still on my guys. And sometimes I have under talent. And when you have under talent, you have to keep them fiery and motivated. And that's just the kind of our culture. But, yeah, we know we got an uphill battle at PJM. But I feel like that we will make the community, the city, the state, the surrounding areas and Nike basketball proud like always. I feel like we will put out there a good brand. Jasper, like I say, just made the USA team. He finna get a wealth of experience to bring back. We got this other kid y'all probably been seeing with Jasper not there that we got out the Memphis. He kind of blew up the Cortland Mudry kid.
Yes.
Silly. I mean, Mellowin, we got a lot of kids, J-Mart, that's continued to step up. Couple Memphis kids are here now. I know that was a thing. We got Jacob from FACS. We got King from Douglas now. So that's a good thing. So now when I do win it this year, I don't want to hear none because we actually have Memphis kids on the roster. So
you do. You can't say it's not a local team.
But once we make a deep run or whatever, however it go, you know, so we're doing everything we can to check every box. You know, we're not going to always make people happy, but one thing we lean our hand on, we're going to do right by the kids in the community and give it our best.
You mentioned and you discussed it last week with me, but now that we know you're 11-4, going to be a top two seed, How important could it be potentially to have that week that you were telling me off air you've never had before? When you go back and we realize all these kids, prospects, they get to go back to their high schools for this month, go back to their personal development, you get them back in July. But this year you've got a week that you can get them back that you hadn't had in previous years to where you're coming back in previous years after a month. We got to roll, and there's not much time. You have a week of extra prep, it looks like, this year from the schedule?
Yeah, I think I would have a week because usually the live period of the Peace Jam starts right after the 4th of July.
Right.
So usually start like the 5th or the 6th. So, and then the camps are in around July 1st because like this month, like so my kids, because we are playing good, they have got invited to so much stuff. So you got like Pangos is this weekend, I'll be in Vegas. Then you come straight off of that, NBA Top 100 in Orlando. You come straight after that. Nike Elite 100 St. Louis. Then you got Jason Tatum, Chris Paul. That's in L.A. So my kids last year went to everything.
They're going
then
to
then, we, you know, then NBA camp last year didn't end to like 2nd or 3rd of July. And then
right before the
Right before PJ.
Up.
And PJ started like 2 days later. So
yeah,
we got it.
That's
so it was just so this year, it seems like even if I bring them in like the 7th or the 5th or the 6th, let them enjoy their holiday, we still have a whole week. And I didn't got them 2 days at a time, 3 days at a time, 1 day sometime meeting the city. And we have put a lot together. But once we get a whole week of preparation in, and we really could like work on some adjustments, we really like right now we playing hard. But when we really like we playing like we learning our rotations better. Of course, we gonna switch some things up because Peace Jam and Nike coaches are so good. Everybody studying everybody film.
Mm-hmm.
So what I try to do, I save a few sets into only Peace Jam. That way they're new. So it's nothing you're finna see on film you done seen before. You know what I mean? And so just getting better in all facets, make sure they body healthy. We going the right way. Like my big kid potentially could have played last week, but he had a strain in his leg and we didn't even want a chance. So we just like get healthy, Peace Jam more important. We got to figure out at least win one game without you, you know, because at least one game would have got us in. And so we kind of went from there.
And we've talked about it, you and I have talked about it off air, man. A lot of teams have tried to get over there at Peace Jam's trip I've made many times and just come up. We've come up short in the finals, semifinals, all kinds of different chances. But so I was telling Brad, you just want to keep giving yourself the most cracks at it that you can. And ultimately, you're going to break through. Maybe you do it this year coming in a little below the radar. That's the way I see it. As long as you got Jasper healthy, sounds like you. He made Team USA, huh? I guess there was – he's top 10, so I guess there was never any a question about whether he would make it. That
was
very
a major
likely.
Question.
Was it?
Because he didn't go to the 17U. He went to the 18U with all the freshman college guys there. So he was an underdog.
Wow.
You know, but now Dylan Harper and a couple of them did turn it down. But because Darian Reed on the team, too, I got two. So it's the college freshman – and
wow.
You know, the seniors that's...
I didn't realize this is the older.
Yeah, this 18.
Yeah, this is the 18.
So the way he been playing, he took it up.
Good
I was
grief.
Getting reports he was killing it and he was doing Jasper-like stuff. So it's just, like I say, I commend these guys because from, you know, our 7th grade team with Thad's son, them just wanting to make hoops. For Vontae doing our 8th grade, we got a second 8th grade with his brother, 5th, 6th grade, all the way up. We'll know today on points. We either have two out of three or all three teams making Peace Jam. The things that OG and them doing this summer, just everything. The program is at a very great place right now and doing a lot of high things. And it's continuing to progress at the right time. And it's giving more families opportunities to be great. And we're just in a really good spot right now. And we're grateful for it. We don't take it for granted because we didn't see programs be great for 2 years, down 5 years. And we didn't keep a consistent pace of greatness. And, you know, we just, like I said, we want to keep it going. And we just, like I said, we don't take it for granted because it's hard. There's a lot of, if you look on that Nike list, I ain't going to call no names, there's a lot of legendary programs that's at the bottom of that list.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
You
and
guys,
so,
it's hard to remain at the top.
It's hard to remain consistent. So consistency and longevity, I call that is young. Consistency and longevity, I think, means no matter what field you in, that means the world.
I don't know if you saw the news, but the Major League Baseball has integrated the Negro League stats into Major League Baseball records. So guys like Josh Gibson that were just considered one of the greatest Negro League players of all time, one of the greatest sluggers of all time, but not in actual the grand baseball scheme of things. He's up at the top of the list in terms of career average, everything over Ty Cobb and everything else. And I say that because I know you're wondering where the hell I'm going with that. My point is, man, if we went back and we got your Under Armour records, everything that Team Thad you did when you was getting out the mud and coming up through the Under Armour records and put them on with the Nike records. If you're just talking about where Team Thad is in terms of the echelon and grassroots and everything, if you put those records with the Nike records, this first 3 years, made the Peace Jam all 3 years, bro, you guys would be one of those. I mean, you're recognized as one of the
–
you already are now, obviously, 3 straight years Peace Jam on the Nike. But if we put in them old Under Armour stats with these.
I like where you're going.
We're talking about GOAT status, man. We're talking about better than Penny ever did it. We're talking about better than, Bobby Dodd and what was it back in the day, YOMCA and all that, right? I mean, this is the same organization through two different circuits.
For sure.
You didn't know I was going to go there, but let's put the stats together.
Yeah, before you went
there, we hadn't seen nothing like that.
I'm happy that I haven't been keeping up with baseball, but that's a major.
It is big. It's huge for those families of those players, but it's big as a recognition of our history is baseball history.
Yeah, that's great, and that was the right thing to do. So I'm happy for that. No, that would be something. It's funny because I told one of the Nike reps the other day, one of the high level guys.
Yeah.
I said, man, if you think about it, I didn't say it like you did. I said, you know, when Dr. J came into the NBA. They brought his ABA stats over, too. That's what made him a Hall of Famer. I said, so I've been doing that, and they agree when we laugh. So now that you say that, and, you know, we just want
to speaks to y'all's longevity as a program. And
we just want to be the best we can be. Bobby did a great job. Penny did a great job. DeJuan did a great job. And we kind of look at it. People don't know this, even though we was rivals at one point. We kind of look at it like we're all together.
If that together
it's like far as the Nike thing. So it's almost like we didn't look at it because nobody hated on nobody in the transition. Penny and those guys, as much as we were battling, you know, Penny was Herod is the he's the, I'm out of Herod is the best guy around here. He does a great job. So we kind of want, you remember when they did that thing for us, they all was there. So we kind of want to make it feel like the Y passed the torch to Bluff City that passed the torch to Team Pendleton, which passed the torch to Team
And we're all in it together.
Yeah. That's kind of how we look at
former rivals or
Yeah, Nike Umbrella in Memphis.
I like the way you're doing things. Of course, we're talking to Coach Norton Hurd, the fourth of Team Thad. They're 11-4, headed to the Peach Jam next month as one of the top seeds in the Peach Jam. Hopefully, this is going to be the year that they break through. All right, man, what's David Jones waiting on? Bronny's already done. He's staying in the draft. Why are we having to wait till 10:59 on David Jones to make a decision that should be easy to come back to Memphis, man? And you've been through some of these.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say, folks aren't as familiar with this one because it wasn't as public. You know, Lester Quinones decided to leave Memphis, go the hard route. It worked out for him. But Damian Ball, a guy that you coached too, had a chance, whether it's comeback, used that last year, I guess TCU, get in the portal, whatever else, rather than going to the grind. He chose the grind, and I guess you can make a case it's paying off for him now. He's been fantastic in the G League. But you've seen it, and you knew Damian Ball's family and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a harder decision maybe for them, for David, than it appears to all of us on the outside that seem to think, oh, man, it's just so we go get the money at Memphis? Hell, even the Gavonis and the John Hollingers have written, this looks like a situation where he needs to go get this NIL money and improve a situation. Is it tougher? Are we missing something?
No, I think people feel like now with the NIL money, they're easier to see.
It's like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Like, what are we missing?
Or no-brainers. Now, back in the day, and this could still be happening. Now, I don't know this. I'm just giving a scenario. It'd be a tuggle sometime with the agents and the managers and misinformation or not greed or nothing, but maybe things that they want that'll be better for their business because some of them don't get – some of them are charging college kids percentages, but some of them ain't. So they're not touching the college money. So I don't know David's whole situation, but the things are more stickier now than ever before due to different circumstances that are going on.
I got you.
I would say if I was the agent, and I don't even know his agent, so I'm just talking, I'm pretty sure, and this is public, so it ain't like I'm saying nothing, that in the year 2024 and the year 2025, he would get more money from Memphis than he would make on any NBA team or deal or anything he could get. I think he would save himself more faith here now, and then he can get better because he'll still be back the number one option. Seemed like Penny probably have put a better team together, not just on the court. These days, putting a better team together mean personalities and off the court stuff too. And so you hope that's right. You never know when you're getting all these 1 or 2 year rentals.
Right.
But I feel like at times, how I hear with certain people was bumping heads, it can't be worse. You see what I'm saying? So I don't know what he's waiting on. But, you know, guys also believe in their self. And
he's clearly one of them.
Yeah, and some guys feel like
–
some guys want to put an NBA jersey on so bad they can have all the information and they like, nah, man, I can do this. I might have to take 2 weeks in the G League. I'm finna do it. And it's always hard to knock a person that bets on their self.
Yep.
Even though you might not feel like that's the most sound decision.
Right. It worked out for Lester. I mean, he bet on himself.
Yeah.
And eventually, you know, got a deal that was more than what he would have gotten in Memphis. But he had to grind through that.
Yeah.
And I guess we would say it's working out for Damian Ball.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what you want out of life. Some guys just...
He was ready to get in there.
Yeah, I didn't talk to some guys who just don't want to do schoolwork no more. Or just don't want to live a college life.
Well, we got things for that. We have.
Yeah, you got NIL. I was going to say, some of them don't want to live in dorms. But some of these guys living in our neighborhoods now.
It looked like Dane Danger staying downtown. I remember when these dudes had to... Man, you'd be on the... You know, the athletic dorms. Dane got a nice apartment
Sky
downtown.
Downtown, bro.
I ain't going to name no name, but I know somebody who was... inconsistently productive last year. They had a three bedroom loft downtown with one of the best views. I ain't had that yet.
So the new spot is downtown for the high level. And
I guess if you 20 years old or 22 years old and you want to see what a city has to offer, and you're a young guy and you're not married, I'm sure a loft downtown would be
much better than that spot on campus.
Yeah, why do you want to go to Collierville? They don't want to be. They want the inner city life.
That's right. I like how we're doing it now. I like what we're getting. Let me ask you, the perfect person to ask this. John Martin's got a column up over the Daily Memphian in the aftermath of us finding out that Andy Borman, the former Wren's man that you know
dude.
Well,
yeah, yeah.
Great dude, as you say, will not be on Penny's staff mm-hmm. going forward. John wasn't so much writing about the news as he was writing about, Mark Giannotto and Hurd is acknowledging him. John wasn't so much writing about that news as he was, this is now 9 assistants, I think, in Penny's time that he's gone through, you know, whether it's Larry Brown's or Rasheed Wallace's or whatever else, 9 assistants that he's been through. And John's point was, you want continuity. Mm-hmm. You know, not just with players, which is something we've discussed and something you just said, multi-year players, guys are going to be here for a while, but also with your staff, with your assistant coaching staff. Now, we know Rick Stansberry is a key piece of that right now. Mm-hmm. You got him back. How important is, and your guy that's got a staff,
mm-hmm.
how important is consistency, continuity on an assistant coaching staff in 2024?
I think chemistry is always big when it comes to team sports, from your staff to your players. Now, it is some people are saying with NIL available now, that's taken away from some of the importance of assistant coaches that have relationships.
Like the recruiting ties.
Because
old school, me and you back in the day, it was about relationships and recruiting ties, certainly maybe more so sometimes than money.
Yeah.
Now money wasn't illegal. Right.
It wasn't supposed to be illegal.
Now it's the first question. And if you guys don't have the money in the bank,
no matter how cool you are with somebody,
no matter how good that relationship is,
it might not work. So
on the same page.
With that standpoint, it's actually making Penny look better. Now, if it was the old way, people would give them slack. I mean, I love my staff. Most of my staff have been with me for years.
Yes.
But it don't mean I ain't going to fire them plenty of days. You get what I'm saying?
But you don't.
Like you said,
there is value in having guys that
calm down. But, you know, when you're dealing with people, right, you always going to have differences sometimes. You know what I mean? And so, Penny is, I always, like, a lot of Penny staff guys, they were my friends before they came here.
Right.
From Andy to, what's the guy still on staff? Now I'm losing my mind.
Karaji.
Western Kentucky.
Rick.
Rick. And what's my guy that's at Texas now that was at Missouri?
Frank Haith, you knew before.
Those are my guys, Mike, back in the day. So they add great value, but it's like getting a good player. It still got to fit within your scheme of things, and it got to fit Penny Hardaway also. You know what I mean? And so from that standpoint, I just think Penny, you know, he didn't been to the tournament. He's getting over the home. I just think it's a big deal. I don't think it's a big deal. I'm going to be real.
I'll tell you what I said is that I'm more concerned about having multi-year players.
Yeah.
When we're flipping teams over and over again, having guys that are going to be here 3 years, 2 years, like a DeAndre Williams, like a Nick Jordan, like maybe a David Jones, you need more. I'm more concerned with getting back to continuity of having those guys than I am, you know, a second or third assistant here for 8 to 10 years.
But
it does speak to, you know, if your guys, not, and you were kind of saying this, if you're bringing them in and they ain't bringing any value to the table, I mean, that's on you. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
so you want
guys that bring value.
And not to tell on myself, Jason, this has nothing to do with it, but those 3-4 guys that you just named, And this ain't got nothing to do with them leaving Memphis. Hold on. I'm just saying something personal now. I have to do a better job, too, because when they all got in town, I was one of the first people they called. Heard, I got to know how Memphis is. I know it's a different city. We need to do lunch every week. And sometimes, know some of my good friends.
Well, you on the circuit, man. You're one of the 100 most influential people in college. You can't help everybody.
Yeah, we so this ain't got nothing to do with Memphis. These were just my friends.
Okay,
like,
yes,
not helping Memphis, nothing. They were just like,
I got you.
They just want to learn the city or what parts of the town not to go to. You know, it's Memphis.
Yeah.
You know, people kind of, you know, read and see certain stuff go on here. And for whatever reason, it's crazy, they would be living here and we didn't get up as much as we thought when they came, you know what I mean? We think, oh, we're going to do lunch once a week. We're going to do this. Yeah. We're going to do that. Now, Stan, he'll get on me in a different way. That's like an uncle outside of Memphis. But, yeah, so, but, like Andy. Andy, a great dude.
Man, he didn't bring any players here, Herd.
So I don't.
Not name.
But I will say this, though. When Andy first got here, Andy has never lived, like, in this part of the South. So he would call and ask me a lot of questions. Like,
oh, I bet. Yeah, New York Rens guy.
Yeah, yeah, well, he's a New York. He's a big city guy. He's a this. He stayed downtown because, you know, he had to get, you know, familiar with that. But I wish him the best, but I don't think that affects how Penny is going to be successful. I think he'd still be good.
Penny's most valuable assistant to this point, is that an easy answer? Is that easily written out of the guys he's had? Larry Brown, Frank Haith, Mike Miller, helped with Precious and Lester. Just in your eyes, the most valuable assistant he's had is?
What are we talking about when we say value? Bringing players on the court happen. Because if we're talking about pure players.
I want to know how. You're the head coach. You value things in different ways.
Everybody value things in different ways.
Exactly. But in terms of your eyes, who's brought the most to the table?
So I would say from a fan basis, I think y'all worry about.
That's why I want to know from you. Yeah, yeah.
So from a fan base, I would say Rick and Mike.
Rick and Mike.
Yeah, from players. Now, we talking about game planning, X's and O's and all that. Then you might have to go like a, but Frank get players done too. But here, it has been Rick and Mike outside of Penny has been the most productive.
Where's Larry on that list?
Oh, shoot. No, Larry has been his best coach probably with like probably preparation and teaching, you know, how to be a coach. Yeah. I mean, not a coach, hold on, because Penny, but you get what I'm saying, just teaching how to do
this thing on the highest level. You're mentoring
win a championship,
him, you're pouring into him.
Win that. But now, this is where I think Penny does has a new school swag. So I think with Larry Brown, I'm just saying this from my heart. I haven't asked him this. I think he enjoyed it, but I think at some point he probably took from it. And at some point it might have been like old school that has passed by too. So it was probably a mixture at this point of his life.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Did y'all no celebrations after 11-4 regular season? Is it all business, or did you give the guys a little something?
Yeah, I mean, we had fun there. You know, everybody had to go to their own homes, but, you know, we had fun. We took some pictures, and, you know, we'll get ready, enjoy it now, and get ready for July.
Business trip in July. Looking forward to it, and we can't tell you how much we appreciate your time here and straightening us all out and educating us. He is Norton Herd IV. Make sure you are absolutely following Herd on social media.